my lecture and Dan's lecture have significant overlaps, which I think is a good thing. And eventually, I expect that we to have at least slightly different perspectives on the same subject, and which will help your understandings. So a bit repetitive. I also talk about the defects of QFT. Okay, so. And as Dan have just said, these defects are classified by what assigns a functor to a sphere, but so that's what I said, Dan corrected, that if we should think about a home from the tensor unit to it. Okay, so what do you think about this sphere? Is that this sphere is the linking to the wall volume of the defect? So this is the defect. I call D, Dan called it Z, and then you have do I have a color? Yes. So if this D has a codimension. Codimension Q, then the sphere is that links with this defect is Q minus one. So, okay. So what to do with this defect is that of course we insert them in to our space-time manifolds. So one thing we consider is like just take some d-dimensional closed manifolds, then we put defects like Q and Q prime and possibly have different codimensions, and for each defect we assign the object of this category. So well, here I only think it as just some level, so it's maybe A B, and these A and B are just some objects in this that just I use it as a label of these defects. Okay, so that is the correlation function of this on this space-time manifold with the defect inserted. Okay, so that's what we generally do. We also do more complicated thing like having the same setup, but maybe you have one defect comes in and splits into two something, and that can go on. Okay, so that. More generally, you can think about some network of defects in general with different codimensions and blah blah. And okay, and each junction this is also what has Nan said, each junction also have some level, and this level comes from this extended functor signs to the link to this junction, and in this case it's a pair of points. Or the higher dimensional version of it. Okay. So this more complicated correlation function with a defect network inserted. Okay, and also we consider, so this is as an ambient manifold, we take space-time. So whatever you insert it, at the end of the day, you get a number. Okay, but of course, you also consider the cut here and having some vector space. Okay, so this also, we also have that the I'm writing the same picture, but here A of D of Q. Okay, I'm writing the exactly same picture, but the ambient space is D minus one dimensional. And in this case, this is okay. So these are numbers. This is a vector space. Okay. Yes.
Can you repeat the question?
So, yes. The question was that if this is just a line, then it meets like one point, and with higher dimensions, then it can intersect in various ways. One answer is about whatever you take the link to it and evaluate the functor, or of course you can resolve it, and if it's too singular you resolve it, and what can happen, I'm not sure I can draw it, but like I give up. But you can have a junction. You can have a junction, and also in general, of course, you also have a junction of junction, and I can't write down, but like. And so then you further insert the further level down. Okay, does it answer your question? Yeah. And okay, so. Okay, so we also have assign that the D minus one dimensional manifold with defect inserted still, and we assign a vector space, and so in general, so in this case the ambient space is D-dimensional, if it is open, then this is a linear map. So M again, MN and N. This is linear map, and here we can have various insertion of defects in general. So like this, or like that, or like just contained in the interior. Okay, and accordingly here we have the restriction of the defect in the bulk onto the bulk onto the boundary. So in this picture, just like this. Okay. So and so on. But I stop here. So here, what I wanted to emphasize is that if you have extended operator, then it's not just you can insert inside or your space time, but you can insert in the time slice, and of course this defect is considered to be extended to the time direction, and then we should assign the vector space. And this makes clear that you can, there's no lambda A, there's no here lambda A, I mean some C number, and there's no good way of multiplying a complex number to a defect. It's because the vector space itself doesn't get the, there's no good notion of multiplying the complex number to the vector space. In particular, the dimension of vector space is an integer. It's an integer. So there's no complex multiplication, but there is a you can take on the dx sum instead, and then this vector space it is also get the dx sum of corresponding ones. Okay, so this exists. Okay, then yeah, so this answers the Shuhan's question yesterday, and okay, so far this defect can be either topological or not topological, so I call A is topological if some z of some md and the a dq some insert defect inserted partial function is depends on the topological let me see, topological properties, topologically on the this D. Okay, so that's the topological defect. And as an example that already gave you. But let me repeat again that finite case theory so here we have a field which is inside some cohomology valued in a group, and by the way, this is in the dance notation, it's the homotopy map from your manifold to BG, and I believe this is P. Okay, and what defects do we have? Okay, so then there are two types. So the defects. There are two types. One is the Wilson type. Okay, and here Wilson type means having this field, so we can have something like this. Here, A is depending on M, but of course we restrict on D and integrate over it. Let me call this where the phi is in the Pontryagin dual of B. This is home from G to U1. Okay, so this is Wilson type, and this is dimension. So this is dimension P plus 1. A is P plus 1 form, you can integrate over P plus 1 dimensional manifold, so the codimension D minus P minus 1. And the other type, what I call disorder type, someone can call Tupu type. Looks bit different, and so that is the we have D and take a link, the sphere that links with D, and and here is we take SP plus 1, so D have codimension D minus P minus 2, I believe. So is a dimension. Yeah, P plus 2 is the codimension. Okay. And so this disorder means that we put some non-trivial boundary condition around this link. Okay, so here we enforce that if you integrate your field over this, sorry, this sphere, and it's some non-trivial element. Okay, so this is, it should be in the center of G. Okay. Yes. Sorry, I asking about this? Why do I need to? Yeah? Why I compose with this? So here, I mean, so doing this, you get the abstract element in G. Well, if you wish, it could be like complex number. But I'm here. I intended to insert this inside a partial function. So the partial function, like you have an ambient manifold, and you have D in here. So this thing is the, you're summing over the fields, yeah, the finite sum. Then you might have a action, but up to also you insert here. Okay. And then by evaluating with phi, yeah, so this phi is a level of one of the levels that defines the defector. So it's like A I wrote before. Okay, so then you get here the complex number. So yeah, fit with it, in the end you get the complex number. Okay. Yes.
Why does that have to be a
sorry,
can you repeat the question?
Why this does it should be a center? Am I right? Actually. Bit confused, but okay. Sorry about this, but let me assume that the G is a variant. I will answer later about the non-abelian case. Yes. So. Then what? Yes. Okay. So then here we enforce that this field values into a particular element. So here, what I mean this is that now the partial function is summed over the field, but this field lives in your space-time, excising this the tubular neighborhood of defect, and this, so around the link, a sphere linking with this defect, you get you restrict this. Okay, this is some normalization. Here you also have normalization. Okay. So these are two different types, and so this one is the codimension p plus 2 and dimension, therefore dimension d minus 2, am I right? So yeah, so and when these two dimensions or codimensions coincide, like d equals to 3, p equals to 0, then this is 1, this is also 1, and then there's a mixed type that's what the last example of Dan's lecture had. So in that case, when these two dimensions coincide, then there are more interesting kinds of defects that I'm not going into detail. And any, yes? Oh yeah, here I just well, in general you can have some action. Here I'm just assuming that I'm talking about the untwisted finite gauge theory, so the action is zero. And yeah, right. So maybe I can give you the exercise. So is to calculate this Bastian for this finite gauge theory, untwisted one, just take S d minus 1, and what's here, you can take a hop link inside this. So this thing is S d minus p. So I should say the dimension. Okay. So you take inside S d, you take the two spheres. One is the p plus one dimensions. The other is the d minus p minus two. Okay, and some of these dimensions is minus d minus 1, which means that you can have a hop link inside this d. Okay, and I put Wilson line, so Wilson surface here, and disorder surface here. Maybe that's a T. So calculate this, and up to the normalization that I didn't talk about. So there's a normalization, an interesting normalization. Okay. Any question? Yeah, if this configuration is too general, just take the d equals 3, p equals 0, then this is literally the hop link of the two S1s inside S3. Okay, then I have still have 30 minutes. Okay, so I talked about the topological operators. Now I'm ready to talk about the symmetries. Okay, Okay, so the theme is of this lecture is supposed to be that the symmetry in quantum field theory is equals to the topological operators or defects. And rather we could think this as a definition of symmetry by the topological operators or defects. Okay, so what does this mean? So let's, well, here the symmetry is in a generalized sense. Okay, but let's start from the most conventional ones. Okay, so conventional one, the zero form invertible symmetry, and that corresponds to the codimension one invertible topological operator. So let's assume too many M's. Assume that we have some topological operator, which is codimension one, okay, and topological. Okay, so then in particular, we can insert this operator on any cylinder. Okay, so okay, so remember that if you have some cylinder, this means the time evaluation. We can insert in the middle this topological operator. Okay, and just take a limit where this length shrinks. Okay. So this I call u hat, and this is a linear map from. Okay, so this is a linear map from this state space to itself. Okay, further, as I said that this is topological, so in particular, if you consider this same cylinder and inserting u, the RE at the time, and flows this direction, confusing, is equals to inserting u at the late time, because just shifting u is a topological move. Okay, so this means that this u hat, the operator u hat, commutes with the Hamiltonian. Therefore, it is a preserved operator. Okay, so physicists interchangeably use the operator and defects, and that's because of this correspondence. That if you have defect, you can insert at some particular time, and that defines an operator on the vector space. Okay, so And one important point is that the U, this U hat, is not a random, shouldn't be a random operator that commutes with H, because that this U, we also have some d minus one dimensional. If I have a d minus one dimensional manifold, then I also can put some u in the codimension one, like this. Okay. And then this QFT should define a vector space. Okay. Okay, and in other words, I can cut like this time evolution like this, and we should have some vector space here, and that vector space should be consistent with the whole time evolution. Okay, so that is much more than having a random operator that commutes with H. Okay, so the counter example is that if you define U hat is like the projection to the third eigenspace. Eigenspace of Hamiltonian with third eigenvalue. Okay. This operator commits with H by construction, but it's too random and doesn't. You don't expect that to be actually a symmetry. Any question? Okay, so then the example of symmetry, of course, is the given by the Natal theorem. Okay, so this example is in perturbative QFT, then if you have a symmetry, continuous symmetry of action, action means the S, then the Natal theorem for the physicist Natal theorem implies that you have a local operator, that this J is the local operator valued D minus one form. Such that it's closed. Okay. And then the standard construction of this symmetry operator, the topological operator, is that on D, this is codimension one, is so let me say this is U1 for simplicity, then you integrate J over D and multiply some phase. Okay. So you have a one parameter family parameterized by this symmetric group of the topological operators. This is topological because because of this closeness. And generally, I have enough time to talk about this. Okay, so for the continuous symmetry, we have some corresponding local operator, actually the closed local operator, and we can express this topological operator as an integral. But for general group, I'm still talking about the group. Symmetric group. G, that might be discrete. We still have, we pick an element, then still have a topological operator. This is still codimension one. Okay, and that. So this is given by, like, if you have a field, then so we have some ambient manifold, and we also have the defect. Okay. And phi, so we have some field. And phi left, phi right. Okay. And you'd have to glue together the two regions, but with the twisted by the group element. So you put the if you approach to the same point from left, then that would differ by group twist to when approach from the right. So that's the field, and then you pass integrate over this configuration. And these topological operators have a fusion, okay, so that we have UG1 and UG2, and we can fuse it together to get something, the another defect, and this is of course of course, respects the multiplication law of the group. Okay, in particular, in particular, I already said that it's coming from group. So there's a for any group element G, there's inverse, and this gives you the topological operator corresponding to the unit, which is trivial. Defect. Trivial defect means that you don't insert anything. Okay. So the conventional, the conventional symmetry corresponds to the codimension 1 invertible. Topological operator. Okay. Any question? Okay. Then so the last 10 minutes, I would like to introduce the notion of backgrounds. Okay. The symmetry, and so the background is a nice way of packaging these are possible insertion of topological defects. So general insertion of the I should have said that these sometimes the topological operator corresponding to a symmetry is called the symmetry operator. But here I advocate that any topological operator should be considered as a symmetry. So any topological operator is a symmetry operator. And okay, but the general insertion of symmetry operator here. Let me concentrate on the case of the conventional symmetry operator. Looks like that if you allow to have a junction, like you can have some complicated network, and for each segment you assign a segment should be oriented, and each segment you assign a group element, and of course, each junction should satisfy a cocycle condition, which means that should respect the G2, G1. Okay. This junction. For each junction, it should respect the group multiplication law, and you can insert whatever shape of this network. Okay, and convenient way of packaging such network is to consider group cocycle. So here, G. So yeah. So one way of thinking about thinking is to take the triangulation, and then you think the case that the each segment is the one simplex in the triangulation, then you assign each segment, you assign the group element, and then I demand the co-cycle condition, which is the closeness of the co-chain. Okay, so okay, and it also is a close analog of one form. So it is called the background. Field. Okay, and the topologicalness means that this is too soppy. Right. Okay. And I don't write this and skip that. So this is about the when G is continuous. So for G, when G is discrete, this is all what you can do. The G is continuous, then you can have more general G connection. Then we can more general non-flat G connection. Okay. So this one is more like the flat connection, and when G is continuous, you can assign G valued, the legal valued form, one form for each patch, and these you can group together each patch, and that defines G defines a G connection. Okay. So that's also should be familiar that. So in this case, so the introducing the background amounts to locally to exchange your action to the original one plus one plus the B with J and maybe higher collection. So the this treatment of background is a bit different from the dance viewpoint, that there he starts from the choice of background, like as the codomain domain, the domain category of the KFT. Here I'm saying that the background can be defined by looking at the defects, topological defects that the QFT have. And so the QFT, extended QFT, actually comes with the intrinsic symmetry that defined by topological operator. So that's the message here. And so even if you start from the QFT, whose domain category doesn't have any background information background, but if it has contains the topological operators, like in this case the invertible topological operators, then it's actually natural to couple with the background, and so there's a way to upgrade that QFT to the QFT coupled to this additional information in the domain category. Okay, and so the last.
Sorry, Kantaro.
Yes.
Question in the chat.
Yes.
Can you clarify by what you mean by intrinsic? Is the charge conjugation symmetry in U1 Chern-Simon theory intrinsic?
So, I would say yes. Yes. So as long as your formulation allows you to find the topological operators, once you find the topological operator, if it's non-trivial topological operator, then that defines intrinsic symmetry. So I cannot give you a very vigorous definition of intrinsicness, but there's some notion. Yes. Yeah, so G, when G is continuous, then you have this net occurrence, and there's a natural coupling to non-flat thing. But when G is discrete, all you have is this topological operators, and all the junctions should respect the cocycle condition, so that. That forces you to this Z's cocycle, so to the closeness condition. So here, yeah, the question was why the existence of current allows to the non-flat connection. Well, yeah, so that's you have a local operator in addition to this the topological operators. So each topological operator is integral of J, but you can also insert J is local operator, so you can insert J in point by point, and such an insertion of J is captured. I mean, such correlator of J's can be given by taking the functional derivative with respect to B. So that's the the way the physicists use it, this background. Yes.
Is there some notion of coupling to non-flat backgrounds in terms of networks of defect that you can use, like beyond the perturbative quantum field theory?
So the question is that you want to consider non-flat background for the
dispute? Yeah, in terms of insertion of networks of defect.
So Here the defect, the junction exists only when this the three defects coming together satisfied respects the group multiplication law. So if you want to violate that there's no junction, or so you cannot define such configuration.
So this coupling to non-flat backgrounds is defined only if you have Lagrangians.
Oh, good question. I believe this should be can be done in for the even without the Lagrangian, and people consider the such background for the non-Lagrangian theories. But I don't know how to formally prove it.
Antaro, I have another question from the chat.
Yes.
How do you determine the possible topological operators for a given QFT?
So it's a very hard question. Yes, of course, I don't know the answer. But yeah, so these conventional symmetries, if your QFT is given by Lagrangian, then what physicists do is just gauge the Lagrangian enough and spend your days or weeks and then figure out all possible transformations that preserve the action. And I don't know some complete algorithm to find out all the topological operators. So that's in general a difficult question. And indeed, month or so ago that we found the new topological operator in QED. So that makes manifest that it's a difficult task in general. Okay.
I have another question, Kataro. Yes. What do you mean the defects come together? Does it have to be a directed network or some kind of flux or flow over time?
Would you repeat the question? Sorry.
Yeah. What do you mean the defects come together? Does it have to be a directed network or some kind of flux or flow over time?
So here, this picture I intended to be the whole space-time, the Euclidean space-time, and then the network is inserted to the space-time. Of course, you can think about some time flow, then like the two defect comes and become and fuse together to something else. So you can read this picture like that. Okay. So if there's no other questions, then let me briefly mention about what you should how you should understand this way of talking about backgrounds in the dance picture. So dance picture is that your QFT can be thought as a the TQFT on interval, and one side you have non-topological boundary condition and the other is a topological boundary condition. Okay. Here some you have some TQFT. And in general in this case it's a fine again when G is finite, then finite dog gauge theory. Now here the rho actually can so it's I hope the spring is correct. The rho is a due shape boundary condition for this finite gauge theory. But so the simplest choice is that just take a uniform due shape boundary condition like the b equals to zero, but it can be like that the field of the finite gauge theory is field restricted to this boundary is might you can say that depends on the non-uniform thing that you choose. So that's this b. Okay, so you can take more general Dirichlet boundary condition, and that corresponds to the choice of background. Okay, so that was a comment. And any other question? Okay, if there's no question, then let's go to lunch.